Are we there yet?
You know, just hush and read those directions again, Dale. I mean, because it's supposed to be up here just around the corner is what I'm getting from this.
Okay, according to RAC Auto Route, we should have brought the TARDIS.
Because I don't think you know where you're going, do you?
My goddamn iPad is getting any G3.
Well,
God
I don't think you can't get any kind of signal out here. I mean, look at this place. It's in the middle of freaking nowhere.
I know where we are.
Where are we at, Dale?
We're lost.
Oh,
is this the place here on the right?
House on Haunted Hill.
There we go. All right.
God damn it. Castles don't have telephones, you stupid.
It'll do. I think this is supposed to be it. Come on. Let's go up to the door here. Okay.
I keep telling you, castles don't have telephones.
Okay. Knock on the door. Knock on the door, Tara.
Away with it as well if it wasn't for those damn kids.
Yeah.
Lewis!
Yeah.
Oh, hello!
Hey! Wow, I didn't expect to see you guys here. This is great. Sam, it's so great to see you and David. Wow, what brings you guys here?
Well, we got this weird invitation out of the blue. It's very strange, but it just seemed too good to resist.
Yeah, we were wandering around outside for a bit, trying to find the door, and then we kind of got ourselves inside and we're just having a quick look around. It's a bit dark and spooky, but, you know, come in and, you know, shut the door behind you.
Oh, okay. Come on, Leela, let's go. Get a move on.
And before you go, guys, come in, but bring some of the happiness that you bring with you.
This is shaping up into, Tara?
I know what this is rapidly turning into. I was working in the lab late one night,
as my heart beheld an eerie sight.
As my monster from the slab began to rise, and suddenly, to my surprise, he said, "Welcome to the Happiness Patrol."
It's a spooktacular spookfest party with Sam Stone.
Hi, guys.
And David J. Howe. Man, this is going to be great.
Hello.
Ooh. Listen to the children of the night. What sweet music they make.
Oi, I think it's trick or treat.
Trick or treat, mother.
You're listening to the Happiness Patrol.
What do you think?
I don't know.
is that too goofy?
Yeah, I think it sounds cheesy.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so basically, what we were thinking about doing is having a fantastic, spooky edition of the Happiness Patrol here in this fantastically spooky haunted house that we call... Well, we don't know what the hell it's called, actually, but it is spooky. But you know...
Oh, I saw the name above the door as we came in, Lewis. It's called IN Turnets.
Oh, okay. Wow, that is spooky. Old man Turnets place.
Yeah.
I thought it was the house in Old Prestatyn, but there you go.
That's pretty, I don't know. But the punch is good. Try the punch. If you're
fantastic. Oh, that's delicious punch.
Yeah.
That is really good.
I'll happily punch you.
Oh, thank you. So I want to start this thing out with your favorite spooky episode of Doctor Who. It could be classic or new. So, Sam, you know, it's good to see, good to have you at the party, and I see you brought your date, David.
It's not a
David.
I like
your costume, David.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, fezzes are cool.
Yes, that's what I was thinking. So, so Tara,
it does look very good in a velvet top as well.
Doesn't he? Ooh, Tara.
I think the fishnets aren't quite as.
I can barely.
Yeah, so the shorts and the fishnets are pinching a bit. So you know,
they look like they're the pinching.
They look like they're pinching.
You know, you might want to take those off and the heels. You know, this is a radio show.
Well, hang on. You know, we'll wait until there's more punch involved after that. So punch and shoot. So
I be tied to a different chair.
so
stay where you were put, Dale.
So Sam, my darling.
Yes, Lewis, sweetie pie.
What is your favorite spooky episode of our most frightening episode of Doctor Who ever? It can be classic or new Who, anything you want.
It's got to be Blink for me.
It's got to be Blink?
I think it's the only one that really scared me.
Uh-huh.
Old or new.
The only one that scared you?
Yes.
Wow.
The Daleks don't scare me at all.
No, Daleks don't scare me.
scare everybody.
What was the core thing about Blink that really made it the scariest for you?
I think it was very new. It was something I hadn't seen before. It was something that it was that fear of the dark. That it's very scary, the thought that you can't even close your eyes because whatever is out there is going to get you.
Ah, so a primal fear. Yeah. To me, it scared me because, like, you know, the whole childhood fear of, like, walking through a graveyard at night and seeing all these, you know, kind of spooky looking statues and all these angels. Everybody's seen angels on these gravestones, on these old graveyards and such. So the fact that those things can come alive and chase you when you're not even looking. That was a big spooky part to me. So
certainly is.
Oh yeah, yeah. What about you, David? What was your spookiest, most frightful Doctor Who adventure ever?
Well, I was thinking actually something like Horns of Nymon. Because it was probably the most horrific thing I can actually remember seeing.
Uh-huh.
Closely followed by the Twin Dilemma.
Horns of Nymon. You should not be so speaking bad. Ill of the dead.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. What is his name? What was the character?
Graham Crowden.
That's right.
Graham Crowden. He died recently. Poor love.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
So don't speak ill of Soldi.
That's true. Especially.
He's finally taken the great journey of life.
He's caught an everlasting cold.
He has.
He's not waiting for God.
He's not waiting for God.
That's very true.
No, he was great in that story. It's quite hard to think of a kind of a spooky, scary episode. The last episode of Doctor Who that I actually had a genuine bona fide nightmare of was The Ark in Space.
And I love Ark in Space.
Yeah, but there was something, and bizarrely, I can remember the nightmare that I had to this day. And as nightmares go, of course, they don't make any sense whatsoever.
Uh-huh.
But I dreamt that if you got touched by a Wirren, you would turn into an ice warrior.
Ooh.
And this shell would kind of grow around you, and you would actually transform into this kind of hissing ice warrior if the Wirren grub actually touched you. And I think it was kind of a combination of all sorts of different things, of kind of like claustrophobia, being in a monster costume, if that's what you want to read it as, but also that whole fantastic element that Ark in Space played on so well, of body horror, of, you know, you just had to get the slightest little speck of that Wirren grub goo on you.
Ooh.
You know, and you would turn into a Wirren grub yourself, and there's nothing you could do to stop it. And that's actually quite scary. And that was the very last episode that I actually remember having a genuine nightmare after. Maybe Ark in Space, something like that, because that's a great story. It's so good. Kind of isolation, creepiness.
Wow.
What's going on, you know, but in a science fiction scenario rather than a kind of a spooky gothic scenario.
Right.
So it's kind of cool.
So the simple fact that you could tell it was happening, you could tell that you were changing, but you were very, very conscious that you couldn't do anything about it.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know, there was nothing you could do.
So it's the sense of being out of control.
That's right. And I think in the story itself, of course, there's the little scene that, was it Philip Hinchcliffe actually cut because he thought it was too strong? And even what's left of, you know, the infected Noah struggling against his kind of Wirren side and his human side in the corridor is really very, very horrific with the makeup and the face superimposed on it and everything. It's just a very, very good scene. Very clever story.
Uh-huh. So Tara?
Yes?
What about you, dear? Oh, by the way, I like your costume. And,
thank you.
So tell me, what was your...
By the way, I like your costume. I'm not going to dwell on it. No, really. Tara, you look stunning.
Thank you. Thank you.
Yeah, I'd have never believed that blue sequins would work so well.
would that
that goes to with my tattoo.
Even noticed my PVC.
Well,
he's too busy dribbling.
I didn't want to be. there's nothing I can say but hot.
Tara, my love, blue sequins do work for you. Although I am amazed, I've never seen them working in the GIMP mask before.
Yeah, and that big Viking helmet. Wow, you rock.
Thank you.
Long Tom Baker scarf, yeah, that's wrapped around the GIMP mask and the sequins. It's fantastic. Really, really good.
Thank you.
Well done.
There goes that mouthful of tea.
Andre is my costume designer.
Oh, I bet.
He's been working on this for months.
Yeah, and he's wandering around here somewhere with a Romana costume on, so keep an eye out.
There you go.
But as far
as... watch out for that Romana costume. Okay, so my episode is the traditional gothic horror episode. Now, I don't find this at all frightening, but... It reminds me of my golden youth in the Hammer horror days. And so my episode is The Brain of Morbius, that has the big, wonderful monster suit and the lightning flashes and the secret cult and the mad doctor and all the great things you come to expect from Hammer horror.
Yeah.
Frankenstein, the Doctor Who version.
You're exactly.
Yes.
No, it's good. It's a good story.
Yeah, Stuart fell in the GIMP mask.
Yep, indeed. There you go.
I especially like the BBC's original video release of it, where it was only about 60 minutes long and they cut 40 minutes out. It made no sense whatsoever.
Brilliant.
I'm still waiting for somebody to do a costume of that at Gallifrey this year, hopefully.
What? Of a BBC video cassette?
No. The brain, the Morbius costume. So that would be very funny. So, but I enjoy Brain of Morbius. It wasn't as scary to me, but I do understand what you're talking about, Tara, the whole gothicness of it. So,
it is a classic horror pastiche. It's absolutely glorious.
I mean, it's got everything. It's got, you know, the sudden arrival of a guest, you know, and it's pouring down rain, and oh my God, there's the castle on the hill. You know, I mean, it's...
and Tom Baker's line when Kondo opens the door and it's tipping it down rain, and Tom Baker goes, "Could you spare a glass of water?"
Exactly.
I love that line.
There you go.
Yeah, he was quite brilliant, funny in that.
It's great.
And of course, Sarah Jane playing the wonderful, you know, playing a wonderful Hammer girl. In that scream queen sort of thing. And that reminds me, David, I love the pictures of you and Sam with the Hammer girls. Wow, you look like you were having the time of your life.
We were, believe me. Martine Beswick was fantastic. Vera I've met before, and Caroline I've briefly met before.
They were such a hoot.
They were such fun. You know, we were all like, you know, just people who love Hammer and horror and, you know, just drinking and having a laugh together.
So we all dressed up as well, which was really good fun. You probably couldn't see from the pictures, but I kind of had some blue breeches on and sort of long socks.
Like a frock coat
and like a velvet shirt and stuff. And I brought my fez, but I could have had a tricorn hat, which I was a bit disappointed I didn't locate in time to be able to wear it. But it was great fun, and Sam had the most beautiful gothic black kind of velvet dress on.
Oh, yeah.
It was really lovely.
Which David bought me for my birthday, which was very nice.
Aww.
I love that.
Isn't that
sweet?
You know,
they should really hold one of those at Oakley Court. That's all I'm saying, is that they should have one of those meetups at Oakley Court. That would be just too damn much fun.
Now, what was the official name of this get-together? And
it was the Bram Stoker Film Fest.
Okay.
So it's kind of billed as the annual Bram Stoker Film Festival in Whitby. I mean, I was quite amused because apparently it was the only second time it had been held. And I was a bit puzzled as to how something could be annual if this was only the second time.
Well, now it's annual. It was the second time.
Yeah.
But to be honest, it is booked in for 2011 and 2012 when they will have Bram Stoker's grandson there in 2012 for his 100th anniversary.
Oh, nice.
It's the 100th anniversary of him writing Dracula, or Dracula being published, I think. I can't quite remember which.
Wow. So was it a huge turnout, I guess?
Yeah, Yeah, pretty good.
It wasn't too bad. I think the films were seemed to be very popular. I mean, although there were supposedly a lot of people there, we didn't see many people. I mean, the ball in the evening was absolutely packed. It was heaving with vampires and ghouls and monsters and demons of all persuasions. And obviously, there's a few pictures of them on Sam's blog at www.sam-stone.com. So we just had a great time, and it's a good chance for everyone to just like kick back, have a drink with some mates, you know, wear some crazy outfits, do a bit of dancing. There was a band on, there was a comedian on. We didn't see the burlesque act, which apparently consisted of three girls pouring blood all over themselves on the stage. We didn't stay for that, but that happened. It was very, very good. It was very good.
Well, David, it sounds to me like you missed one of the best parts.
I think we probably did.
But you guys were in your element. You guys were in your element.
There was a lovely comment, actually, from the comedian. It's the one thing that I remember, which was very, very funny. He made the observation that in England, Dale will appreciate this, Sussex is known as the Garden of England. And of course, it's got fairies living at the bottom of it.
Oh, dear God.
Which is called Brighton.
Oh, dear God.
Bum, bum, bum.
That's terribly unfunny.
Hold on, be right back. Okay.
Hey there, girl.
Hey.
What do you think about this punch?
I think it's pretty good, you know.
Yeah.
No. As far as punch goes.
Well, you know, for this sort of party, yeah, not too bad. So, you've been awful quiet tonight.
Well, this is nothing normal. I don't know why you sound so surprised.
Okay, so you're having fun. I'm just worried. Yeah. I just want to make sure you're having fun at our party.
Well, of course.
So you've been watching any Doctor Who?
I watched End of the World. I think yesterday.
Oh, wait a minute. Look over there. Look, quick, over to your left.
What?
Your other left.
Sorry.
There goes Andre in his Romana costume. How funny is that? He doesn't even know. He doesn't even know how big it makes him look.
So, the thing is, that costume's like legendary.
It's amazing. So
I know.
Okay, ooh, turn back around. Okay. Make sure he doesn't see you. You know. Anyway. I don't know who made this punch, but it definitely has a little bit of a kick.
Yeah, I definitely think it does.
But anyway, you're Doctor Who. What were you talking about?
No, just I watched End of the World the other day, and you know, with Christopher Eccleston, and I haven't watched it that in a while, and I was like, oh, feeling a little reminiscent.
Aw, that's very sweet. Yeah, I've been watching a little more of him lately too. Thanks to sources who will remain unknown. Well, wait, hang on a second. I better put this punch bowl back down. it is pretty funny to go back and watch some Eccleston, especially after watching Matt Smith as the Doctor, and it really is. Two totally different takes on the character, don't you think?
It really is. And I watched, you know, because we've been watching a lot of Matt Smith, and then I just watched some Tenet last week. And I think I'm slowly progressing backwards. I don't know. Maybe I'll have to watch the movie.
That would be called regressing, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Or whatever. So
it's something like that.
Anyway, where did Dale and Tara go? Did you see them?
I have no idea.
Well, I saw Dale, like, he was heading toward the bathroom, but I don't know. He was, and Tara was talking to some people about a scarf. So I don't know if that was an original scarf I saw or not, but anywho.
No, so, but I was I was sitting in class in, in one of my classes earlier this week, and I had Russell T. Davies' book, The Writer's Tale, on my desk. This girl sitting next to me is like, oh, that's Doctor Who. I love Doctor Who. I was like, oh, yeah, really? Do you know you like David Tennant? And she's like, who? And I'm like, the Doctor, this guy. And I pointed to him, and she's like, that's not the Doctor. I'm like, that sure as hell is the Doctor. I'm like, who are you thinking of? And she's like, well, I don't know. It's been a long time. And I'm like, okay. So I, like, whip out my laptop and pull up pictures.
You whip out your laptop.
Like, oh, of course. It's like a necessity for these things.
Right, right.
So I bring it out and I show him, like, well, who are you thinking of? Because I've got all this, all the pictures of the doctors and stuff. And she goes, oh, him. And I'm like, Christopher Eccleston? She's like, yeah, that's the doctor. Oh, I'm like, wow. You are 5 years behind, child.
How old was this girl? Or about how old?
I think she's about my age. I think she might be a little older.
So she's probably a casual viewer, I guess.
I guess so.
How funny.
Which makes me sad. So she's like, well, do you have any episodes? I'm like, yeah, I've got them. Yeah, I've got them. She's like, oh, we should go watch some. It's like, okay.
That's funny.
So now I guess I'm her her way of watching Doctor Who now. So we're gonna watch Eccleston again, and then I'm going to introduce her to Tennant, because how dare she not know who Tennant is.
Oh, yeah. She'll freak out when she sees David Tennant, I think.
I know.
You know, you need to keep track of this young lady to find out exactly how she reacts when she sees David Tennant for the first time. If she's that far behind. Because think about it. How many fans do you know who aren't like David Tennant lovers? You know, they just love their DT.
It's true. And it was weird to see someone who doesn't know David Tennant, but she loves Eccleston. She just loves him.
Funny. So I wonder how they... Oh, that's dry ice. That's dry ice making the bubbles. Okay.
Very observant.
Okay. I was freaking out for a second there. It is strong punch, though. So, hey, where did you get those cheese dip? Those little cheese wedge things.
Oh, I think they're, like, on the end of the table.
Oh, okay. I'll go check it out after we finish talking. So,
yeah.
Anywho.
They're pretty good.
Is there any cute boys around here that you like?
Not yet.
Mm-hmm.
Then again, we are among geeks.
Yeah, so you got to watch out. Geeks in costume, so there you go.
Geeks in costume.
Oh, there goes Andre again, speaking of. Have you seen Nancy around here?
I don't think so. Not yet.
Well, she's supposed to be, and so is Sherry. I gotta keep up. But they may be in costume, and I don't know yet. So we'll go check it out. True. So let me. I'm going to get back over here, and I'll see you in a little bit. Okay.
Okay. Sounds good.
So Dale, getting back on track. Spookiest Doctor Who. Episode.
Do you want the last one that actually frightened me, or do you want my spooky favorites?
I want the all time number one on the top of your list. Spooky.
I've got three. Uh-oh. I've got the one that scared me, and I've got the two that I love the most for horror. You're so which one do you want?
All of them.
All of them. Yes.
Okay. Well, very very quickly, the one that actually last scared me, and this is absolutely hilarious. It was the BBC. Four did a night a couple of years ago, and it was London Underground night, and they showed Web of Fear part one.
Ooh.
And by the end of it, literally cut 25 minutes, by the end of it I had my feet up underneath me and I was hiding behind a cushion because I was getting quite unnerved by what was coming down the underground line. I knew it was a bloody yeti. I'd seen it coming. I'd seen the thing before, but it was just something actually quite unnerving about it. So that's the one that last actually frightened me, and I was totally ashamed of myself for being frightened before I fell about laughing.
Oh, that's funny.
And my two favourite gothic horror ones are State of Decay, because I love vampires, and it's so well done with the three who rule, and they're all very poetic and balletic as they move around. And I love Stones of Blood because it's just the whole idea of there may not be the execution of, but the idea of the Ogre and Vivian Faye commanding them, or the Kaliak or whatever the hell she is. Great stuff. And you know, the scene with the camper coming out the tent, and there's a bloody great rock waiting for him. So and suddenly, he's a skeleton. Oops.
Yeah, that was pretty funny. Another theme of a stone, something that shouldn't be moving or alive, and it is, you know, another basic fear sort of thing coming out there. Yeah, wow.
Yeah, vampires.
But the Yeti. But what about the Zygons? You told me once that Zygons were your all-time spookiest monster.
Yeah, I didn't say the single scariest one. I said the last one to scare me.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Yeah, pay attention, Lewis B.
Oh, yes, I will. Thank you.
Yeah, Dale's decided to let Zygons be Zygons.
Oh, I knew it was coming.
Growler. Lewis, I also like Waters of Mars.
Waters of Mars? Waters of Mars, if Leela was, where did she go? Well, anywho, that's Leela's spookiest, I think. Yeah, I'm pretty sure of that one, because she's told me once or twice.
I got a thing about zombies, you see, and I think that was very, very, very close to zombies.
Yeah,
I found it quite scary, that one.
Yeah.
And, of course, Phil Ford was involved in that, and he's a great writer.
He is.
He's got a way of doing suspense, which is really nice, I think.
Yes, he has.
He really does. So, and I was watching... I'm sorry, Dale. But you're going to do your number one, right?
No. I was just going to say, was it Phil Ford who wrote the Nightmare Man Sarah Jane episodes?
No,
that was Joe Lister.
Yeah.
They were very, very good. Because, the whole trapped in a nightmare thing, that's an age-old fear. And Julian Bleach as the Nightmare Man, absolutely stunningly done.
Yeah, he kind of stole that episode, for sure. So
yeah.
We were at the Doctor Who Live tonight. And
I told you Daleks were overexposed. You get to see them in Birmingham arenas now.
Well, it was actually at Manchester, but you're right, Dale. And they weren't... I didn't react to them. The audience didn't react as they were scary, and it was full of, like young children. And I think the later generation now, the new generation, don't find them scary at all. I think they are a little bit overexposed. I think the other monsters are far scarier to them. That's my observation.
Well, it's interesting too, because I've been watching some of the lost episodes of the Troughton era. And was it Power of the Daleks or Evil of the Daleks?
Evil.
Is it Evil of the Daleks?
But if you've been watching Power, Lewis, then you need to tell us.
Oh, sorry.
Yeah, that doesn't exist.
Oh, sorry.
Please do.
Well, maybe I should write a story. So, but I was watching these scenes that were, from this lost episode. And watching black and white Doctor Who has a certain... surrealism about it, and watching Daleks and move for like they did, and the way they were filmed and the voices and all were just really something about it all combined, and knowing that also this is like one of the few times that they've been on screen, you can sort of tell why it was so scary to kids, because I was watching some of that stuff and I was putting my mind in a 7-year-old mindset and just going, whoa, that that would be pretty damn scary if you're not a modern kind of kid today, and if that watching that at that time and seeing that on television would make you pee in your pants because it was so damn scary. Now, of course, it is.
Lewis, are you trying to tell us you wet yourself?
No, not really.
Okay.
I'm just trying to say that I think black and white Daleks are a lot scarier than modern day Daleks.
I always think the best they ever looked, all Daleks, basically, apart from Dalek, which was the only really new series Dalek episode that showed it off beautifully. I always thought the Daleks looked best in 2150 AD, the movie, because they were big. They were they weren't that bright. They were that wonderful silver, that glorious blue, but they were big and nasty and tall and loud and
Technicolor.
Great.
Technicolor, big screen Daleks. Yeah, yeah.
Yes.
I think
And they looked very good in those days. They looked really, really good in that film.
Well, so, there's just something about
it. It's strange, though, that they don't recognise Peter Cushing as one of the Doctors. I remember that very well.
What do you mean? They don't recognise Peter Cushing as a Doctor?
Well, he isn't one of the Doctor incarnations,
oh, right.
Well, is he?
He's not canon. No, he's not. But he was. He wasn't. But he was a human, wasn't he? Because in the films, he was an eccentric Earth professor who invented the TARDIS.
That's right. That's so right. That it's so wrong. But you know what? Those films are so beautiful in their own way.
Oh, they are. They're brilliant films.
They're like a really fun Doctor Who toy that you get when you're little, and you know that they got this bit wrong. But you know what? I got me a little so-and-so toy. You know?
Oh, you mean it's a Dapple toy?
Yes, a Dapple. I've got me a Dapple toy.
It's entirely wrong, but you still like it.
But you still love it, and that's the way you sort of look at the Cushing films, I think. So, which you know, or at least that's the way I look at it. That and the fact that you get to see, I would still love to see both of those movies on the big screen somewhere, like at a viewing somewhere. That would be great. Oh my God! It's Michelle. Michelle, hey.
Hey,
hon.
Oh, hey, Lewis.
I'm loving your.
I love your invitations. Those are really cool looking.
Well, I guess.
See. They came out so nice. Where'd you get them printed?
I didn't do this, Michelle. I mean, you know, no? we're all here. The guys are over there. Talking to Leela, but you know, I don't know. Well, let's ask Andre. Andre, come over here. Hey, come over here.
Hey, how's it going? Listen, now about the invitation, it's nice and all, but why did you clip out each thing like a ransom note?
Well, I was just telling Michelle, and we were also discussing like, well, what the hell's going on with this invitation thing?
Hello, Michelle.
I don't know.
Hi, Andre.
How are you?
I see that you got the Romana costume back from the cleaners.
Isn't that cool?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Cool is the word for it.
He's the only guy that I know that can actually carry that. Oh, hey, Sherry. Hey, what's going on?
Hey, Lewis.
Damn.
Is that Andre with you?
It seems like everybody's here.
Who else would it be?
How many other guys do you know can pull this outfit off?
She didn't realize you were a guy, clearly. It's such a great costume.
Listen, just because I'm fat and have big tits doesn't make you a
bum. God. So, Sherry, nice mask. I like that. I hardly recognized you.
Thank you.
Although I am surprised to see, well, all of us here in one place. That's kind of weird. I mean, what a cool party this is. I mean, did you try the punch, Michelle? It was pretty
good.
Yeah,
it's delicious.
Yeah, Leland.
I really like these little cups.
That's actually making me a sonic screwdriver over here.
Oh, okay. Nice. I let's take a look at that. Oh, yeah. That is nice. let me taste it.
How did you get the blue color? Is that Aftershock?
No, it's Blue Curacao.
Oh, nice.
That's the only way to go. So Sherry, you're going to be over at for Thanksgiving. You're going to be over at Chicago TARDIS. Is that right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're going to cover
Friday and Saturday.
So you're going to cover that for us, right?
Will do.
Hot diggity! I can't wait.
I'm getting a room, so I'll be there. I'm going to be there all day Friday, and then I got a room for Friday night, and then staying Saturday.
It should be fun.
Nice.
Have you met any of these guys before, Sherry?
That are the guests? No.
Yeah. No?
I met Tony Lee last year, but he's going to be there again this year.
Oh, he's great. He's the greatest. You just saw Tony Lee recently, didn't you, Andre?
Yeah, a couple of weeks ago at a Doctor Who New York meetup, right before Comic-Con here in New York.
Cool.
I have to give love for Fraser Hines. He's a very gracious man, because last year at Gallifrey, I dressed up in a monochromatic Jamie McCrimmon costume, and I walked up to him and did my horrible Scottish accent and told him he looked familiar and asked him if we'd met. And his reaction was, "Wow, you look great," and not, "Oh my God, get away from me, you scary woman." So.
Was the internal voice.
Yeah, the love in my heart can muster for a guy I don't actually know it belongs to Fraser Hines. He's a very, very kind and gracious man.
Oh, well, we're big fans of Fraser here. So even though I can't
pronounce his name. I look forward to meeting him.
Oh yeah, he's really cool. Just tell him you're with the Happiness Patrol. He'll be cool.
Run screaming.
Yes, exactly. Have you tried this punch, Andre?
No, I'm drinking whiskey sours. It's the joy of an open bar.
Oh, yeah. Well, I'm telling you, it's pretty damn cool. Well, listen.
I think I'm going to move on to banana daiquiris.
That'll be fun. So, have you guys talked to Daryl
lately? There's a bowl of jelly babies over here on the counter.
Oh, there is? Oh, shit. Where did that come from? You know, it's so weird because there's so many people here that are like, you know, I've seen them at different Doctor Who events and stuff, but, you know, I don't really know their names and such. And I don't know what the hell's going on here. But I tell
just
you
call people by their costumes.
Oh, okay. Yes, cool, cool.
So, I find Hey You works.
Hey You, yeah. But and Michelle, what is this costume that you're wearing? I mean...
I'm Gwyneth from season one of the new series.
Oh, really? Well, I hear...
Yes, the maid. The Victorian maid in Cardiff.
I think I hear the Hounds of Baskerville calling. What's going on there?
Sure as hell isn't canine.
Nope.
No. Well, cool, cool. Well, I'm going to walk back over here and see how everything's going. And Andre, do me a favor. If you find any trap doors or bookshelves that revolve, let me know, okay?
Go through them immediately.
Put the candle back.
Yes, exactly.
There's some interesting lights coming from that room over there. I think there's a disco floor set up. So let's go cut a rug or disco floor as
rocking this.
I am not doing home improvement in this outfit.
No. Well, I tell you what. Well, let me go holler at Tara so she knows where the hell I'm at, and I'll join you in a second.
Yeah,
okay?
Tara and Dale might be in the dances. Yeah.
That's true. If they're not, you come look for us in there. We'll be the ones doing the hustle.
Sounds
good.
Come
on, guys.
I'll see you.
Should I give the Doctor Who related one?
Sure.
It's very bizarre.
Do it.
When I lived in Lincoln, I lived at a house on a place called East Liberty. It was number 69, Tara.
Of course.
It's a damn good number. But the house was literally, there was a house ghost. It was very well known, well known in the house industry, made itself very well known, very apparent, and was blatantly obvious. It used to walk through the room, whether you were paying attention to it or not, frankly. But we were sitting there one day, and it was when I was still living with Jenny, who was one of my friends, and she was knitting a Doctor Who scarf for me. Not quite as accurate as the ones you knit, I have to say. But...
I understand. But it was a Doctor Who scarf.
It was, yeah. And she said, right, you know, I said, tea, let's make tea. And she went, come on then. So I went to the loo, and she made tea. That was a good household, that one. And we came back, and the knitting was at the other end of the sofa. And I said, have you moved the knitting? She went, no, have you? And I went, no. How did I move that then? And she went, oh, it must have been the ghost. You know, So we moved the knitting back and said, hang on, let's try an experiment. So we moved the knitting back to where it started, and then we left the room for about 10 seconds. And we came back in, and the knitting was halfway down the sofa again. And as I went to pick it up, the knitting, complete with the needles and the wool, jumped along the sofa on its own.
Oh, wow.
And I screamed like a girl and ran out the front door. So there you are, a possessed Doctor Who scarf that was jumping on its own, and I was out of there.
So tell me this. Did she finish Did she finish the scarf and give it to you?
No, she didn't. She didn't touch it again.
Funny.
That scarf remained unmade until we parted our lives. It was terribly amusing. But yeah, I got very used to Fred, because yeah, that's what we called him, Fred the Ghost. He used to walk. He would save the corner armchair for me. And if anybody used to sit in the chair that wasn't me, he would make them ice cold in seconds. You'd be able to see their breath in front of their faces.
Dale, sweetie.
Yes,
would you read me The Raven, please?
No.
Oh!
That's fabulous.
That's rough. That's rough. Where has the magic gone?
I've got it now.
Where has the magic gone?
He was going to read The Raven, but he hit it with his car on the way in, and unfortunately it's dead now.
Golly.
Once upon a midnight dreary, while I pondered weak and weary over a many quaint and curious volume of forgotten lore, while I nodded, nearly napping, suddenly there came a tapping of someone gently rapping at my chamber door. 'Tis some visitor, I muttered, tapping at my chamber door. Only this, and nothing more. The Raven by Edgar Allan Poe. First published in 1845, you know.
Yay! Well done.
K9, master. Come on then. Get off my foot. Thank you.
Ah, distinctly I remember it was in the bleak December, and each separate dying ember wrought its ghost upon the floor. Eagerly I wished the morrow, vainly I had sought to borrow from my book Sir Ease of Sorrow, sorrow for the lost Lenore. Master.
Well done, Peter. Good job.
Affirmative.
Good job. Very good.
Affirmative.
Punch is so unbelievable. Oh my god. Hey, hey, Trudy, is that you?
Lewis.
Trudy, hey.
Hello.
How's it going? Give me a hug.
Thank you.
Right.
Oh.
Well, cool. Wow, fancy seeing you here.
Amazing. How are you?
I'm doing pretty good. I mean, I bumped into so many people that I knew here, and I just can't believe I saw you here. So how crazy is that?
Well, you know me, crazy. I'm there. I do that well.
Oh, good. This punch is great. So, I love your costume, by the way.
Oh, thank you.
Red is very fetching on you.
I know. I know. It brings out the redness of the eyes. I know.
Stay away from
the
punch.
It's your time of year.
Yeah. Stay away from the punch. Stay away from the punch.
Oh, I'm staying well away from the punch. It looks too lovely. I know that once they start, that will be it.
Oh, yeah. So cool. Well, I'm very happy. You know, I've been seeing a lot of people here. It's really kind of crazy how many people I've seen that I've actually, you know, seen online. And, you know, it's really weird, Trudy. They all seem to be Doctor Who fans. I don't get it.
Well, you know, can you help that, you know? Class, isn't it?
I guess so.
You know, thank you kindly. Wouldn't be here otherwise, would I?
Well, you know, I didn't send that invite, Trudy. You know, I've been talking to a lot of people who've been saying pretty much the same thing, and quite honestly, we don't know who invited us all to this party. We just all got invites.
Oh, how weird. Yeah, spooky now.
Yeah, it is a little spooky, actually. So, but you know,
should I be here?
I don't know. You know, really, you know what? I don't really care because we're having a good time. It's that wonderful punch. The music is going. All our friends are here. It's very great. Amazing. So, listen, I will talk to you a little bit later. I've got to go head to the loo. And
you do that.
And
I won't be joining you.
Oh, thank you. And I'll see you a little bit later here for a dance.
Yep. Okay. Yeah. Well, I've seen a face I recognize, so I'm going to go and toodle off and go and say hello.
Cool. Well, I'll see you a little later.
Yep. Take care.
Bye.
Bye.
Agree. I've been spending shed loads of money on iTunes this week. I downloaded 19 Dracula films.
Jesus.
And I have to say the worst thing I have ever seen in my entire life, and that's a very long life. 1973, Jack Palance as Count Dracula.
Oh, I love Jack Palance. I love Jack Palance.
You would love this. Oh my god, he looks like
nothing. Dracula's dead and loving it.
No, that's
that's Leslie Nielsen.
What's the Jack Palance one called?
This is meant to be. It's Dracula. You know, it's meant to be a serious version of Dracula. But the problem is, he does nothing of value. And I mean, nothing. They kill him at the end. You know, like the across the table, rip the curtains down. Does he turn into dust? No, he goes.
There's nothing new.
And I thought, what is that? It. You're not going to die. So then they stake him with a bloody great spear, and he goes,
I think I've seen that one. It was pretty crap.
Oh, it's bloody awful.
It was.
And then I laugh my little socks off even more at Zoltan, Hound of Dracula, which is all about Dracula.
I saw that one.
Oh, it's so funny. Dracula's Great Dane with big fangs. Oh, it's brilliant. I'd love that funny. Film.
So have you watched Blackula yet, Dale?
No, I haven't been able to track it. It's I've incredibly hard one. To find.
Oh, you've
seen it. Rare now.
You've seen it, Sam?
I have seen that one. Oh, what's the other one, which is, what's she called? With, there's one where a guy revises his wife and he puts black blood in her and she becomes a black girl.
Ooh.
Oh, my God.
Ooh.
That's brilliant.
That is now.
my favourite Dracula films that have arisen are the 1931 one with Bela Lugosi.
Yeah.
And they did I think it's 1935 or 36, Dracula's Daughter with Gloria Holden. And the best thing about that. it is Otto Kruger, who reprises his role as Van Helsing.
I think and I have seen
it. It's glorious. Literally, there's just this fantastic bit where Van Helsing's been arrested for the murder of Count Dracula. You know, because that man there's got a stake in his heart, says the American policeman.
That was an American police.
No, trying desperately to be British.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, gotcha.
Yes. So they take him in, and he's being interviewed by Sir Basil in New Scotland Yard. And he just sits there and he goes, "This is ridiculous. It's utter madness." And he goes, "Madness or unbelievable?" And he goes, "Well, I suppose in due deference to your place in the scientific community, Mr. Van Helsing, then yes, it is unbelievable." "Ah, the strength of the vampire, Sir Basil, lies in the fact that he is unbelievable." And I'm thinking, well, that's you screwed for the film, isn't it? it's a glorious black and white.
You know, I've seen so many Dracula films, I can't even remember some of them. They just kind of merge into one. But I remember really one that had a guy with a very pockmarked face that had blonde hair, and I can't remember what it was called. I'm really rubbish at remembering names.
Was it an American film?
My favourite, of course, is Louis Jourdan and Frank Langella, because I think they were the best.
Frank Langella's gorgeous as Dracula.
Very sexy.
Was that the early 80s thing?
That was 1980... Oh, my God, about 1985? Something like that.
Was it as late as that?
Was it?
And it's got Sylvester McCoy in it.
Yes. That was
Which is absolutely brilliant, because literally they're opening the door because Renfield's gone completely out of batshit in his cell, and he's like being ripping apart things, and somebody else is going mental in their cell, and there's Sylvester, and somebody looks at him and goes, "Quick, get the doctor!" And I'm thinking, well, if that's not an officer, I don't know what it is.
that was the Dracula movie where they hadn't made any real Dracula movies, serious Dracula movies in a while, vampire stories in a while, I think this was the one that they were trying to sexify. Vampires again.
It was really good, actually. I liked it.
Langella was gorgeous.
What do you make Sexified. Of Dracula 2000, Dale?
I think,
well, that answers that question.
He's rather fit and hunky, but you know, I wouldn't mind him poking.
Girls are quite nice, isn't it?
Easy.
But have to say, yeah, it's got its, like most of the Dracula films, it's got its moments, but mostly it's insanely forgettable. However, I'm now on Dracula 2 and Dracula 3 from that series, The Legacy, and I'm like, oh, for freaking sake, as long as he takes his shirt off, I don't care. And then I'll be on to the one that really, really, really scared me when I was little, which is Salem's Lot.
Oh,
yeah, that's
yes.
a spooky one.
Oh my God, still creepy.
Well, the odd thing
is kind of creepy, but I'm so hard to scare these days.
Gooser,
hello,
David.
David's
turns around and gives him a slap.
Gooser, David.
Ooh, David, not on air.
Yes.
When I first saw Sandra's Lot, I was watching it on my own in a dark house in the middle of a thunderstorm, and we had the same, exactly the same windows and bullseye glass that they have in the film that little Danny is scratching on to get in.
Oh,
and
it was God. A
fog, and there was fog as well. And I was like, I hate this. And I was too scared to actually move to turn the telly off. So I watched the whole film.
Iconically very scary. Yeah.
But we're talking the Tobe Hooper adaptation here, not the recent, not the more recent TV movie adaptation.
No, the one with David Soul in.
Yeah, the David Soul one.
Oh, that scared the crudder out of me. That did.
The latest one was unbelievably crap.
Yeah, that's a surprise, eh?
I'll be just very blunt about this. It was shit.
Was that shit?
What was that, What was that David Soul hit back yonder?
Oh, it was called "Well, Lad of Oh Shit."
No. Oh, but I do know a good Cliff Richard song that we could end the episode with.
Oh, please, let's leave Cliff Richards where
I've had nothing but bad luck since the day I saw.
Lewis?
Yes.
Shut up, Lewis. What were you saying, Sam?
I like Cliff Richard. Don't diss Cliff Richard.
She's just a devil woman with evil on her mind. Beware the devil woman. She's going to get you from behind.
Lewis, shut up.
I have my image completely now.
Oh, sorry.
Yes, you have.
Sorry, Sam.
No, I liked him in Heathcliff because he was a real bad boy. I only like bad boys, of course.
Oh.
Mm-hmm.
Well, maybe that's why he's so young. That's why he keeps his young good looks, right?
No, he sold his soul to the devil.
Oh.
No. Oh, no. Bad Dale. Bad
or
Dale.
Maybe the devil bad woman.
Dale. Oh, God.
Thank you, Tara. I love you, Tara.
Sam.
Oh, am I? Okay. This is an extract from Sheridan the Fanny's Carmilla.
Ooh.
Being myself wholly sceptical as to the existence of any such portent as the vampire, the supernatural theory of the good doctor furnished, in my opinion, but another instance of learning and intelligence oddly associated with some one hallucination. I was so miserable, however, that rather than trying nothing, I acted upon the instructions of the letter. I concealed myself in the dark dressing room that opened upon the poor patient's room, in which a candle was burning, and watched there till she was fast asleep. I stood at the door, peeping through the small crevice, my sword laid on the table beside me, as my directions prescribed, until a little after one, I saw a large object, very ill-defined, crawl, as it seemed to me, over the foot of the bed, and swiftly spread itself upon, up to the poor girl's throat, where it swelled, in a moment, into a great palpitating mass. For a few moments I stood petrified. I now sprang forward with my sword in my hand. The black creature suddenly contracted toward the foot of the bed, glided over it, and standing on the floor about a yard below the foot of the bed, with a glare of skulking ferocity and horror fixed on me, I saw Milcala.
Speculating I know not what, I struck at her instantly with my sword, but I saw her standing near the door, unscathed. Horrified, I pursued and struck again. She was gone, and my sword flew to shivers across the door. I can't describe to you all that passed on that horrible night. The whole house was up and stirring. The spectre, Milarca, was gone, but her victim was sinking fast, and before the morning dawned, she died.
Ooh.
There you go.
Like.
Like.
Spooky. Spooky.
Like.
Wow.
Like things like that.
Now that, that is from 1872.
Camilla. Indeed.
Is when that was written.
Uh-huh.
Yes.
And it's good, isn't it?
It is good.
Yeah.
I read that book not too long ago, oddly, because it was they published it in SFX a couple of years ago.
Yeah, they did a little edition, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Brilliant.
That sounds like lovely late night time can't get to sleep reading.
That's if you're nighttime and you don't want to get to sleep.
Hey Andre, come over here.
What's going on, Uncle Lou?
Well, me and the gang have something for you.
Oh.
Ready?
Happy birthday to you.
There you have it, Andre. Thank you.
Happy birthday, Andre.
Oh, thanks, guys. I haven't been this touched since the priest asked me into the rectory.
So, once again, it's time to go. What a spectacular party. Thank you guys for tuning in to listening to our crazy little Happiness Patrol Spooktacular Fest Halloween, first annual Halloween party. Thanks to all the Happiness Patrollers that made it. Thanks to Sam and David.
Yay!
Thank you! Yeah. Thank you!
Thank you!
Thank you, sweeties.
Thank you so much. And, Sam, you've got a website. Why don't you tell the folks who want to see your books and all that other good stuff that you've got on your website. Why don't you tell them where to go?
Hi there, guys. You can catch me at sam-stone.com.
And there you go. And that should open the door to all sorts of wonderful reading from our favorite author, Sam Stone. Yay.
And if you want to order science fiction and horror books, you can order them from Telos. David?
Yes, indeed. You can head over to telos.co.uk, and there you will find a veritable cornucopia of goodness,
and it's spooky too. And speaking of, if you want to join the party every single day, make sure that you go to our blog spot so you can check out all the back issues of the Happiness Patrol. So Leela, put that drink down and tell them where the good folks can go.
You can check out our blog at thehappinesspatrol.blogspot.com and follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/thehpatrol, and there may or may not be Twitter parties.
Right, right. And you know what? You can also send us an email. Send us an email to our Gmail, and that is the.happiness.patrol@gmail.com. This is so weird. I you know, it's very difficult to do this when I'm actually looking at you, Leela.
I know.
So anywho, like I said, thanks so much for joining us, and we will see you guys next week on the Happiness Patrol.
If we survive,
if we get out of here. I still haven't found that telephone, so telephone tomorrow.
Telling you, you stupid slut. Castles don't have telephones.
So anyway,
we bought the TARDIS. There was one in the freaking door.
Yes, I know.
Yeah, but it doesn't work.
That was great. So until next week, I'm Louis B.
I'm Tara W.
This is Leela S.
And I'm Bella Lugosi.
Bye, guys. Love ya.
And I've been David J. Howe.
So we'll see you guys next week. See you later. Bye.
Bye, everyone.
Bye.
Bye.
it's even out on the prowl. You better watch when you hear me howl. When I jump in my car and I drive down the street, I got long clothes on, my hands and feet. I just ride around howling at the moon above. That's right. And tonight I'm coming after your sweet love. Look out, baby. I'm a wolf man. Yeah, I'm a wolf man, baby. And if you see me out on the prowl, you better watch when you hear me howl. I climb tall buildings and I pull down the trees. I chase little birds and I sting the bees. Oh, baby, don't just scream when I hold you tight, 'cause I'm gonna eat your love tonight. That's right, baby. I'm a wolf man. Woo, I'm a wolf man, baby. And if you see me out on the prowl, you better watch when you hear me. Oh, yeah, I'm a wolf man. I'm a wolf man, baby. Yeah, you look like you could use a bite, and I sure could use a meal. Oh, yeah. Oh, oh. Oh, a chicken fricassee for me. Oh, bring me my steak sauce.
You know, so, you know, I'm just thinking, dude, you're drunk.